what's happening, what's going on in Sharkland. This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. You know by now that I like to talk about incidents, you know, why they happen and all these connected things. And of course, I really like to figure out, understand all the incidents. So one of the most intriguing incidents that I can think of happened in July in 1916 up in the New Jersey shore area in a small town called Matawan. Matawan Creek. You most likely heard it is a part of a series of incidents, what we call the New Jersey attacks. Today, I do not really want to talk about all these cases because two of these incidents actually happened at shore, at the ocean shore, but I would like to talk about the three incidents that took place in Matawan Creek within a very short period of time, within hours. There is quite some information floating around these incidents, and it really depends on the sources you cite. So what I will tell you and what you may have heard or even read might be different, but overall, all these sources tell a similar story, and the story is truly intriguing. Even now, after so many years studying this incident off and on, there's always new questions I have. So maybe down the road, we together, we can figure out some of these answers. The incidents happened around 15 miles, 25 kilometers from shore, up the Matawan, which by this point was not brackish water anymore, but fresh water. So we have incidents that took place in fresh water. That in itself is actually quite a rare event. Overall, two people were killed. The 11-year-old Lester Stillwell and his would-be rescuer, Watson Fisher, which is often called Stanley Fisher, but Stanley is more of a middle name. And then there was a third person who got heavily injured, the 14-year-old Joseph Dunn, who lost a leg in the process. Then there is actually a fourth person, also a teenager, who got banged up a little bit, but not really suffered serious injuries. So I reduce this podcast to the three people involved. So what happened and who did it? For a long time, it was assumed that a white shark swam up the Matawan River because two other incidents happened at the shore a few days earlier, and in both cases, it was assumed to be a white shark, and most likely it would have been the same one. So it was naturally assumed that it must also be this very particular shark that now causes the other bites as well. And truth to be told, 2 days after the Matawan incidents on July 14, a Mr. Schleicher did indeed catch a white shark close by in the actual creek. And, of course, it was a white shark. However, the shark was of small size, and although they found some human remains in its stomach, there were no attempts made to make sure these bones stemmed from any of the victims. Unfortunately, back then, 1916, forensic analysis did not even exist yet, so they found bones, hence it must have been the animal responsible. But in addition to, you know, since no other shark of that size was caught, the assumption was made that they found the actual culprit. So I can sort of follow their thinking process, but go for nowadays, that would not fly anymore. But you know what? We should not forget one thing. It was 1916, in the middle of the First World War. So chances are, this shark actually was feeding on dead sailors at one point or the other. Did not really digest the bone material. And when they opened it up, voila, there were the bones. And so, case closed. So the first question, of course, was there a white shark involved or not? Well, I dare to say definitely not in the Matawan Creek incidents. I believe that at least one bull shark was responsible, probably two bull sharks that did these three incidents. Can I be sure? Not without any doubt, but it is highly likely. Even more so, since a local captain caught indeed a bull shark a few days after the white shark got caught, and most importantly, it caught that bull shark in the Matawan River. So what happened on July 12, 1916? It all started with the observation of a shark swimming up the creek. This was seen by a retired captain. And actually, it's the very same captain who later caught this bull shark. When he saw that this shark is actually swimming out on the bridge up to Mata Wan, what he did, of course, he went straight back into the little town and announced that there is a shark coming up the river. But people ignored him. People ignored him for two reasons. First of all, he was a known drunk. And second of all, sharks do not swim in freshwater. So he was dismissed. And this would eventually then cost Lester Stillwell and Stanley Fisher's life. At the time of the first incident, Lester played in the water with some of his friends. Anybody got fatally bitten, he was pulled under and didn't come back to the surface anymore. So his friends ran right into the town, shouting at anybody that something happened, a shark took Lester. So the first person who really picked it up and acted on it was the local tailor. His name was Stanley Fisher. And he immediately ran to the side, jumped in the water, and tried to rescue this young man. But eventually, he got bitten heavily as well. But the weird thing was, the interesting thing was, after Stanley came back to the surface after the first dive, he then told people, bystander, that saw Lester, that he was trapped under a rolling tree trunk. Of course, his rolling tree trunk was not really a tree trunk, but the shark. And, you may think that sounds very weird, but you know what? That is something that I experience as well. Very often when I work with bull sharks, the water is not really that clear. It's sometimes a little murky. And if you look down at a shark and the dark background is, let's say, dark grass or so, sometimes you really have a hard time. And then all of a sudden you see something moving over the grass. And then you look left and right, do peripheral vision, and then you see it. Oh, wow, it's a bull shark. So I can understand that in a river where sometimes the water is really murky, that this young man did not see that this rolling tree trunk is a bull shark. And, well, he acted on it. After Stanley got bitten, he was immediately sent to a hospital. But back then, there was no emergency that could be called, so he was put on a local train. Unfortunately, he died due to blood loss while being on the train, so he never made it to the hospital. The last victim in Mata Wan was Joseph Dunn. Likewise a teenager, who had not yet heard what happened further up the creek. And he lost one of his legs in the process too. Assuming that all five incidents that happened in early July 1916, the three in Mata Wan Creek and the other two at the Jersey Shore, were linked together, then we have the single most fatal incident series that ever took place. The only other event where five people got injured, but only one person died, happened 2010 in the Red Sea in an area called Sharm el-Sheikh in Sinai Peninsula. I will talk about this series in my next podcast. The incidents of Mata Wan Creek in July 1916 are one of these freak serial incidents that do not really make sense. One shark swims up the creek for whatever reason and started to bite people. This is such an exception to the rule that makes it very hard to believe this incident. But it happened, and we have to try to understand it. But when it was assumed that due to the hot summer, more fish happened to appear close to shore, that this would have brought the shark closer to shore as a potential reason, that doesn't really fly with me. So when people started to create ideas, offer ideas what really happened, the more it was offered, the more I said, there must be something else. That sharks would follow prey, it makes sense. But why more fish should move closer to the beach because of the heat, it doesn't really fly. So it is really intriguing to understand why would these sharks really swim up a river. That they would bite people in shore area, that is a common thing. But why would the shark swim up the river? Even more so, since the shark actually leaves seawater, actually even leaves brackish water and swims right into fresh water. Can a bull shark really be motivated to swim that far into the river? Well, yes, bull sharks have been found thousands of kilometers up rivers like the Mississippi, the Amazon, the Zambezi down in Africa and so on. But what was the motivation? Food, reproduction, safety? Considering the size of these animals, or this animal, safety was hardly a motivation, leaving food and reproduction. But reproduction as well. I don't really think so. So it would actually leave food. But was the shark maybe chasing something? So you see, I'm guessing here as well. So it is truly, truly intriguing. Whatever happened in Matawan Creek, whatever motivated the shark or the sharks to swim up the river and then bite people, won't likely ever be known. But fact is that as unusual as these incidents were, they happened. And there must be a constellation of factors among sharks or among this shark that actually led to the bite. But again, this constellation must be totally, totally rare. Otherwise, it would have happened more often and we would have seen or by now had an answer to this type of series. Okay, I hope I shed some light into the Matawan Creek incidents. I'm pretty sure it's not the last time we talked about these incidents on Let's Start Shark. So, well, I hope you liked it, that you will turn in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege.